3 o'clock, Ralph.
So, yeah, John, I'm still upset that you've called me a poser, you've called me a liar, you've called me all kinds of things today.
Yeah, it's been a rough week for you.
You think I'm posing when I say thank you very much
for
listening?
No, I don't care.
We appreciate
you. You can say thank you very much for listening as long as you don't lose your edge. That's my argument.
And you say I'm lying about the medium Dora.
Well, but you know what I find interesting? I'm now coming around that maybe the medium's real, but you keep leaving loopholes. Like, for example, I said, send me an email with her email address on it. And instead of doing that, you just sent me her email address.
Well,
he forwarded it to me.
You have an actual email that has her email address on it.
Yep.
Okay. So then that's it. Then you're right.
Yeah.
Dora's real.
And so she is, her letter to me or her email to me.
Says take the Nets tonight,
says,
right?
Says take the Nets tonight. And you know what? I, for the first time, am going to go against Dora.
Really?
Give me the Lakers minus the 2.5. I'm sorry, Dora. I don't believe you're right on this. She says, as for Thursday night's game versus the Brooklyn Nets, I am in fear for my beloved Los Angeles Lakers. They are without Mr. Davis. She calls him Mr. Davis.
Yeah.
And the team from Brooklyn may overwhelm those in purple and gold. So she is picking Brooklyn. I am going to bet $2,000 mythical dollars on the Lakers minus the 2.5.
What's interesting tonight is that something's got to give. The Nets have won 4 games in a row. They're undefeated on this road trip, and they're 6-0, Mace, against Western Conference playoff teams. So if the season ended today, they're 6-0 against teams that would be in the playoffs from the West, which bodes very well for them. But the Lakers have won 8 out of 9.
Yep.
Their only slip-up was the game in Denver where AD got hurt.
Yep.
Why don't you ask Dora if you and Joaquin are going to be together forever?
It's
I already know the answer to that. It's Juan, and we are.
Joaquin, Juan, what's the difference?
Yeah,
they're two different names.
Michael.
That's the difference.
Yeah,
Javier.
Yeah. By the way, I will be the first to say that's kind of racist.
Why?
Juan,
it's a Latino. It's a Latin name.
is Michael?
All
is,
Latinos are the same to you,
is,
Michael?
Is Jorge the same as Joaquin?
Well, since you're using, you know, not using Juan's real name, why not?
That's true.
Jorge, Joaquin, Javier, Jaime,
Javier,
Jaime. Yeah, all the J's.
Sure. Yeah, just throw in any Hiro. Latino name that you want.
They all work.
Yeah. All right. So I mentioned Charles Barkley.
I love
appeared
Barkley.
On the Ringer podcast.
You know, Mace, that Michael got a shout out on TNT while you were gone. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know about that, Mace?
George, let me know when you have it. So you know that Michael was off of Twitter for a while, Mace. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Why?
Okay, so
I changed phones, and for some reason when I hooked up my new phone, my i12, everything came over, switched over except my Twitter handle. So I was locked out, and I tried to get on through the standard procedure that Twitter says to do, but I couldn't get on because I forgot my password because idiot Jeff Katz set it up for me. And he didn't put down the password
idiot
I wanted
Jeff
to.
Katz.
Yeah.
But Carlos Saisu, our master digital guy, figured it out and got Michael back on Twitter. So Michael was watching TNT. He was watching a game, and then the post-game show came on, and he typed something like, now time for the best show on TV, Charles and Kenny and Shaq. And you know, sometimes on TNT, they will read tweets.
Read tweets.
This is what it happened. This is what it sounded like.
Okay. Michael Thompson. Shaq and Charles Poskett. Hey, Michael Thompson, one of the best to ever do it.
Woohoo.
How about that?
Nice, Michael.
What a compliment coming from
that
the great
nice.
Charles Barkley.
All right, so what does Barkley think about tonight?
Yeah, Barkley was on with Bill Simmons. Here he is responding to the potential of a Lakers-Nets finals.
LeBron against KD, that would be a great matchup. If LeBron can, you know, he used to be a great defender. What can he do against KD? That would be great to watch. But they ain't got nobody can handle AD. But this dude is always hurt. Like, he was the biggest difference in them last year. When he's down there in the post, he would kill Brooklyn. He would kill Brooklyn. They got nobody to handle him.
So he thinks, I'm not sure if he says yes. It sounds like he's leaning towards it is a Lakers-Nets final. And can we all agree that if the Lakers do not have AD for some reason in the playoffs, they will not repeat?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I would too.
They need him.
Here's Charles. He thinks the Lakers would prefer a matchup with the Nets in the finals.
I think Brooklyn, to be honest with you. It's an easy seven games, though. Like for Anthony Davis, he's going to have his way. LeBron going to have his way. Those other guys, they know Kyrie and James ain't going to play defense. So that's going to make Caldwell Pope. Like, it's kind of like a boxing match. If you're going to fight a guy and y'all just going to jab each other, that's fine. Now, if a guy can knock your ass out, you don't want that guy. Because, like, you got to keep your head on a swivel the whole time. See, that's one thing. Those Rockets teams, those Suns teams coached by Mike D'Antoni, those are easy games. There's no physicality. We just got to outscore them four times, you know. And scoring, like, well, scoring is going to be easy because they're not going to play in the defense. They're not going to rebound the ball.
So he's saying that if the Lakers get to the finals, their choice of opponents would be the Nets. Do you agree?
I wouldn't want
to face Philly. I would not want to face Philly with Embiid.
Embiid and Simmons scare me.
No, listen. A little bit. You got to remember, Mace. What has Philly ever won? With the Nets, you got a couple of guys there who've been to the mountaintop and know what it takes to win a championship. Two leaders in Kyrie and KD. What does Philadelphia ever do if the Lakers see them in the finals?
But in terms of matchups, Michael, that's all great and fine. But in terms of matchups, the Nets don't have a matchup for AD. Philly does.
Embiid and AD cancel each other out. And then what does Philly have that could kill the Lakers? Nothing. What, Tobias Harris is going to destroy
Harris
the Lakers?
Tobias Harris is having a really
good season. He's a good player. But
Simmons is a walking triple-double right now.
You could build an effing wall, as Stan Van Gundy said.
I always hear this, build a wall. Why do you not build an effing wall during the regular season? Effing wall only happen during the postseason?
I love that quote by Stan Van Gundy.
That was so funny.
But because in the playoffs, you have time to strategize and work on that.
Yeah, but John, you always say that if when you face Giannis, it's easy because you just lock him up in the middle. My question is, he racks up numbers all year long. Why are you not using the same strategy in the regular season that you're using in the postseason?
Because you don't have to.
Sure you do. You want to win the game.
Right, but in one game, Giannis can figure out, you know, how to get to the rim. But you in a seven-game series, when NBA head coaches get a chance to come up with a game plan against the same opponent 6-7 times in a row.
Yeah. And you don't have a counter to it, which Giannis doesn't have.
Yeah, and by the way, Mace, Giannis is and the Bucks are really struggling.
Yeah, they're struggling.
Because the book is out about them.
Their window's
closed. I think they're 14-10 or something like that.
Their window's closed.
By the way, Michael, Charles Barkley said AD's always hurt. Embiid's always hurt.
He's been relatively healthy this year, though, so far.
He's taken a few games off.
And they're resting him. And I think you guys hate that, but I think that's probably the right thing to do with Embiid.
Yeah, with that big body of his, he's got a lug of it now. You might be right.
Yeah. By the way, just shifting here, Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill has released the win totals for every Major League Baseball team.
Hey, before you get into that, Michael, who guards LeBron tonight?
Jeff Green.
Probably not going to start. They're probably going to start Bruce Brown, but they'll just let Bruce Brown pick up two fouls.
Yeah, he's too small. Bruce Brown, he's Jorge size.
6'4".
Yeah, come on. That's a joke.
So, all right, let me go back to this. Take a guess. Caesar Sportsbook by William Hill, total wins for the Dodgers. What do you think the number is, the over-under number?
99.
Michael?
103.
The answer, 104.5.
Wow.
Yeah.
104.5 games is the over-under number for the Dodgers. The next closest is the Yankees. Their over-under is 97. And then come the Braves at 92, the Padres at 92, the White Sox at 90.5. If you want to go down the list, just in case you're an Angels fan, the over-under number is 83. So 104.5 is the over-under number.
Well, with
the
Dodgers pitching staff, they might be right.
Yeah, they re-signed Austin Barnes, by the way, which is a good signing. Him and Will Smith are obviously a great catching tandem. And although Will Smith, I think, is the better hitter, Barnes is the better defender and also has proven to be really clutchy. I think this is going to be a great season for the Dodgers. And I think it will be a battle with the Padres. I don't think the Dodgers are going to run away with this division the way they have the last six, 7 years. Do you agree with that?
Well, it's 8 years, isn't it?
Yeah,
haven't they won eight straight pennants?
It's eight straight division titles, yeah.
Yeah.
And some of these years they've won it by 15 games. That's not going
to
happen
again. I'll say this. I think both the Padres and Dodgers are going to the postseason.
Yes,
I don't know who wins the division, who finishes second, but they'll both be there when the playoffs start.
I think the Dodgers will win the division, Padres second, but I think the NLCS could definitely be Dodgers-Padres. All right, so, John, you want to talk about this, and I find this interesting. So Brian Windhorst wrote a big piece today about this idea. You know, people buy trading cards, and, like, I've got a Zion – I don't, but if you're out there and you say, I've got a Zion Williamson rookie card – and that's going to be worth something someday. So what the NBA has done and what the Players Association has done is they have created digital files of highlights in the NBA. So, for example, right now you can buy a digital file of Zion Williamson's first dunk for $2,450, and you have it in a digital file. It's the only one or one of the few that actually exists. It's just like a baseball card or a basketball card, a trading card. You have this, and it's got a unique identified number. I read the article from Brian Windhorst. It's very confusing, but basically you can buy a video of Zion Williamson, and let's say there are only 10 of them made. That makes them valuable. John, what do you think of that concept?
We had Windhorst on while you were gone to preview this story. He explained it to us in detail to me and Ramona. And I got to tell you, Mace, I don't get it. I would not invest in it, but I can't tell you how many people feel exactly the opposite. We opened the phones,
yep,
and a bunch of people called in and said they couldn't wait to do this. Mark Cuban says he's in on it, but you know he has an ownership stake in it.
Right.
Michael, does it make any sense to you? Clay's going to get part of this money. The Players Association is getting part of the money. Do you understand these digital video crypto collectibles?
Yeah. This is the new wave now, Ireland. So we've gone on from the Topps cards now to digital, and holographic is probably going to be next. So it's just technology, and just keeps advancing on.
So I'm not.
You're a Bitcoin guy. Would you jump in on this?
Well, I think you've blended these two things together.
Only in the sense that I wouldn't feel comfortable investing in either.
But you can buy stuff with Bitcoin.
Right. You can buy these with Bitcoin.
You can buy Dallas Mavericks season tickets. You can buy a Tesla. You can pay your AT&T bill with
Bitcoin. You can buy one of these
crypto
collectibles with Bitcoin.
Correct. But Bitcoin is money. These are trading cards. They're totally different things. You can buy stuff with a Bitcoin. A Bitcoin is worth it's a substitute for dollars.
But I'm telling you, these crypto collectibles are like, there's one that's worth $70,000 that Windhorst wrote about in his story. So if you owned it, it would be in essence having $70,000 in this cryptocurrency, and it's crazy.
Well, it's not a currency.
It's not a currency.
It's a digital trading card, just like if you were to go buy a pack of cards from the store, a pack of actual physical baseball cards, and you're going to spend $10 on a pack of baseball cards. You could open them up and find an extremely rare one, and you could turn it around and sell it for a lot of money. Same thing goes for these digital ones, and the difference is it's stored on digital. They all have unique serial numbers, so there's only so many of the Zion Dunk ones made. So if you open up a pack that you buy for, like, I think they said, like, the level up from the basic ones are like $30 for a digital pack of cards, and you open it up and you've got one of those legendary cards, you can put it on their marketplace and put it for sale however much you think it's worth, and other people are going to bid or try to buy it.
Now, Lindsay, you said earlier off the air that there's an issue with them, right? People can't get them.
Well, so when I went on it, like, looked into it to buy one because I was going to buy a pack. Because like I said, the packs of like the basic cards are $5 and the packs of like the nicer cards where you have a better chance of getting one that's worth money are like $30.
Well, Jorge, you logged onto the website. You can't buy
Everything is sold out.
You can buy them on the secondary market. So now there's a marketplace where you can buy them on the secondary market. So for example, John, Anthony Davis's three-pointer in the finals that you called, what do you think that video trading card is worth?
Boy, I have no idea. I would guess $100.
$3,999.
Wow.
You can buy that right now.
So you have to sign up on the site to get alerts and emails when they put new packs on sale, because Ramona actually sent me an email on Friday night. They put out a new packs for sale, but they're limited. So they only put out, a couple hundred packs at a time. And then when you open your packs, you hope that you have a rare one, and then you can list it on the marketplace for $10,000 or whatever. But you just have to be really up on the website and checking it constantly and stuff like that if you want to be able to get the packs, because the packs are really rare and they don't come out very often. So they're always sold out.
And the interesting thing is, I think these are going to work because the NBA and the NBA Players Association is making money from this. And frankly, the NBA is too big to fail. These will have a market because the NBA is creating this market. Now, it's not something I'm going to invest in. I've got a bunch of baseball cards and basketball cards and football cards in my garage, and some of them that I really like, and rookie cards and stuff like that. But I'm not going to buy, a $3,999 for an Anthony Davis three-pointer in the NBA Finals. Although, pretty great moment. But it's a weird concept.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
Don't you believe the NBA is behind it, so it's going to work?
Well, that's the essence of Windhorst's story, is that, that if you get in now on the ground floor, you get a chance to make a lot of money. I just don't understand the how they monetize it and whether or not it'll last. And so that's why I would stay away. But a lot of people are doing it.
Yeah. All right. So tonight it is Lakers versus Brooklyn. And the question is, we've talked a lot about this. LeBron James, Kyrie Irving had an exchange this year. We'll play that for you coming up. But who does this game mean more to? Does it mean more to Kyrie? Does it mean more to LeBron? No KD tonight, no AD tonight.
But there's
it'll
JD.
Be Harden and Kyrie versus LeBron.
You keep forgetting JD.
And Jared Dudley. That's right. Jared Dudley also will be there, JD. Who do you think has more spite on this game? Who is got more pressure in this game? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. And if you get through on the phones, we're giving away a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN, what is going on? Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being out there. We appreciate you. How about that for an ad, Sean?
That was good.
Kind of throw it away. Tonight is a big night at Staples Center. The Los Angeles Lakers are going to face off against the Brooklyn Nets.
What kind of atmosphere do you think it would be, Mace, if things were normal with the media and the fans?
Can you imagine?
And everybody healthy.
Well, it'd probably be a little bit like the last game I got to go to before everything shut down was that Milwaukee Lakers game on that Friday night. Yeah. Everybody was all excited for that. I saw people I hadn't seen in a really long time at that game. It would probably be like that. It would be like old home week.
Well,
everybody we know would be covering that game.
Think about this, guys. The last time these two teams played was on March 10th. Of 2020, and the next day the league was shut down.
Wow.
The Lakers ended up losing that game, Michael. Remember, 114 to 112. It was their first loss in the month of March. They were 4-0 in March, and AD had a three-pointer to win it from the left corner that rimmed out. But then the very next day was that game in Oklahoma City where Rudy Gobert tested positive, and our lives have never been the same.
Yeah.
These were the last two teams to play in Staples Center with fans.
Yep.
And this is the rematch.
Yeah. So earlier this year, and we'll get to your phone calls in a minute here. Earlier this year, Kyrie Irving appeared on let me see, which podcast was this? The Day Trippin' podcast? They all blend together.
No, no,
the
Day Trippin' was where LeBron appeared.
And it's Road Trippin'.
Podcast. This was on KD's podcast, Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I think it's the boardroom.
And you wonder if he's taking a shot right here. Listen to this.
10 seconds left. 1 point game. Who's shooting? You were Kyrie, KD?
Depends on who's hot. I don't see it as that, as anything other than that. Like, 1-3 pick and roll, or it's an ISO for either one of us, or it's something great for our team. One thing I've always been comfortable with is, you know, I felt like I was the best option on every team I played for, you know, down the stretch. This is the first time in my career where I could look down and be like, that can make that shot too.
There you have it. And then the response, and that feels like a shot at LeBron. Here's LeBron's response to that.
When I heard the comment that Kyrie made, I wanted to, one, not only find the whole transcript, but also call my people, send me the whole transcript. And I heard he had did it on KD's podcast. And I was a little like, damn. Once I got the whole transcript, I was like, damn. You know, I wasn't like, oh, you tripping. I've hit game-winning shots my whole life. I was not like that. I was like, damn, because you were there for a couple seasons. I mean, I played with Kyrie for 3 seasons. The whole time while I was there, I only wanted to see him be an MVP of our league. Mm-hmm. I only cared about his success. And it just didn't align. Yeah. It just didn't align. And we was able to win a championship.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing. We were still able to win a championship, and we could never align, but I only cared about his well-being, both on and off the floor. And it kind of hurt me a little bit.
Yeah, so LeBron responded to that. And now the question is, who's the pressure on tonight? I mean, for me, it's definitely on Kyrie. He's the one that took the initial shot.
Yeah, although about Kyrie's answer. So Kenny Smith, the guy on TNT, tells a story about Sam Cassell.
Yeah, I was thinking about the same thing, Ireland.
And the story he tells is, if you went to Sam Cassell and said, Sam, the future of the world is at stake. It's like a Space Jam dilemma. The Monstars are coming to take over the world, and we have one shot that can save the world. And on the court, in their prime, are Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and you. Who takes the shot? That Sam would not only say me, but if you put him on a lie detector, he would believe it.
Yeah.
And so I think that may have been a little of where Kyrie was going.
Yep, that's it.
That you want a guy, Tommy Lasorda used to have a saying that you want to believe you're the best player in the world, just don't tell anybody about it. Kyrie took it a step further and actually told everybody about it.
And he backs it up on the court with his shot. He's a better shooter than LeBron. There's nothing wrong with saying that. Steph's a better shooter than LeBron. Kyrie's one of the best shooters you'll ever see.
But, you know, he's a former teammate. Do you really take that shot at the best player in the league?
I would not have. I think you make a fair point there.
I don't
there.
Think he was taking a shot. You guys are taking it the wrong
why
way.
Why did LeBron respond?
Oh, Kyrie's too smart, Michael.
These guys always are sensitive to any little kind of comment
right.
or opinion.
If Steph or Clay said that about the other, if Clay answered honestly, yeah, I would want that shot.
Sure.
I'd want to take it. People would say, well, is he taking a shot at Steph?
Exactly.
No, he's just really confident in his own game. But, Mace, I think I you know, he was – LeBron takes with him a full planet of – coverage. Like,
sure.
LeBron is the biggest player in the league, biggest name in the league. So Kyrie had to know when he put that out there that it was going to break the way it broke for you.
And he's not going to shy away from it because that's how confident of a player he is, Mace. That boy, he's tough, man.
Let's sneak in a call, John.
One more thing about Kyrie. I think, too, that, you know, these guys are both starters on the Olympic team, both LeBron and Kyrie.
Right.
I think Kyrie relishes these moments. I think he like, not only did he say it, he meant to say it.
Sure.
Yeah. So
you know who his mentor was? Kobe.
Right.
And Kobe was as confident as anybody who ever played in anything.
Sure. Yeah.
Here's Ryan in L.A. on line 4. Hey, Ryan, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, what's going on? So, yeah, I agree with Mace that Kyrie intended to take that shot, and that's why he's got most of the pressure on him to win tonight. But I also agree with Mike and John in the sense that Kyrie he 100% believes that he's going to take that shot, but he knew that. That's why he said he put his inside voice on by saying, "Oh, with KD, I'm going to let whoever's hot take the shot." But then, like you said, he went a step further, knowing that fact, by saying, "I can't answer this question by being PC. Let me go ahead and give a dig at LeBron on the way out." So he's playing both sides of it, and ultimately, Kyrie's always got much more to prove than LeBron, because LeBron wins. LeBron wins capital W's, and even if Kyrie won this game, it'd be a lowercase W.
Yeah.
Ryan, hang
hey,
on,
thanks
man.
Thanks for the call, man. We'll give you a Mason and Ireland t-shirt.
Hey, Michael, who's harder to guard, Harden or Kyrie?
Kyrie. Harden's tough. Don't get me. All these guys are great in their own way, but because Kyrie can change directions so quick and then finish in traffic, he's the toughest guard in the league.
I hate Harden's game.
You do?
Right, but Michael, I was going to say, I was going to go right where Mason went. Mm-hmm. Aren't they more likely to foul out guarding Harden?
Yeah, yeah. He throws his body into you as a defender.
Yeah, I mean,
Kyrie doesn't have to do it because he goes around you.
I think the league needs to fix that.
Oh, yeah. You're so
right
about that.
The league needs to fix that. Yes. The flinging of the body when you take the three-point shot.
I hate to tell you this, boys, but there's a Harden Jr. now.
Who?
Trae Young. He's doing the exact same crap, Mace, the stuff that you hate. And he's got the matter of fact, Steve Nash was one of the coaches that has called him out for this.
Yeah.
Trae Young this year is averaging more free throws per game than Harden. Because he's doing that, throws his body forwards and backwards, Mace. If he gets around you, if Trae Young gets around you, and this is a Harden move, he will put you on his hip. So now you're chasing him to the basket, and then he'll just stop. And when you run into him, he'll throw the ball towards the basket, and it's a foul on you. Uh-huh. You really didn't do anything other than you just kept going, but he stopped and you ran into him. And like Steve Nash's argument is, that's not really basketball. What he's doing.
I don't mind if he's doing that because he's just stopping. I hate when guys jump sideways or way forward and throw into the defender. That's dry. Because if you just stop and a guy rear ends you, then it's like driving a car. You shouldn't have been
but
that
close.
But
it's the way you kick your legs out and you drive. Yeah. That's garbage. And what it does, Michael? It slows the game down.
That's why they should fine the referees who call those fouls. That's what I say, Mace. That'll stop all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because the guys that are doing it.
That's as bad as flopping. They warned LeBron against flopping and Kuzma. This is as bad as flopping.
No.
It's an acting
job. It's an offensive flop.
They warned the wrong guys. They warned the referees, don't fall for it. Don't call it. Tell them to just get up and play. It's the referee's fault for making those calls, not the players.
All right, coming up next for you, we'll hear from James Harden, what he's saying about this matchup with the Lakers tonight. Plus, we'll get a couple more of your calls in, 877-710-ESPN.
I'll tell
game
you what
of
he's
Games
saying.
Is coming up for you in 15 minutes. Michael, you're going to play game, or is this your game?
It's my game today. Black History Month. Have you guys studied up on it?
Heck yeah.
I have.
All right.
I believe every month is Black History Month, Michael. I'm like Morgan Freeman.
All right, that's coming up for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, 710 ESPN, what are you guys doing? It is a big night in Los Angeles. It is the one that we've been waiting for a couple of weeks. Now, a little shine off the game, no AD and no KD, but we do have Kyrie and Harden versus LeBron James and the crew. After their last matchup, James Harden from the Nets talked about this game with the Lakers.
We're focused on ourselves. Like, obviously, offensively, we're really, really good. Defensively, we're not so great. And so we have to find ways to be better in that category, which we all know. And so we're working on that. And whether it's the Lakers or any other team, like, that doesn't get us excited because we're still working on ourselves, if that makes sense. So obviously, you know, we understand the caliber of the team we're playing. But then the whole, you know, situation is we're working on ourselves. So Indiana's and the Sacramento's and the Golden State's and tonight Phoenix, any of those games we could have lost and we could beat the Lakers and it only counts as one win and one loss. So the more we can build great habits on both ends of the ball and do that, try to do it consistently every single game is the bigger picture for us.
One more here. Jeff Green, who was a former teammate of LeBron's, is, of course, now with the Nets. He was asked if he's shocked at how well LeBron has been playing. Don't have that one. Let me just say he's shocked.
Okay, so let me ask Michael, are you still there?
Man, this drives me crazy.
What?
You mean to tell me that James Harden thinks that this game is the same as playing in Sacramento tonight?
He doesn't.
Come on.
I think he's just saying that.
Well, why did
he
do that?
That's just something you say. It's only one game.
You know, why don't you just say this is a special game because of who we're playing and who's on the other side of the court? I don't get it.
Hey, Mike, Michael, some people on social media are clapping back at you for saying earlier that Kyrie Irving is the best one-on-one player you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Well, who's better?
Kobe.
Yeah, of course Kobe's in the conversation. If you think it's Kobe, you're not crazy for saying that.
Allen Iverson.
AI, sure, they're all great. And people who have those opinions, they're not crazy. I'm not going to say they're out of their minds to say that because obviously Kobe's in the conversation. Jordan's in the conversation. LeBron. All those guys are great one-on-one players, but none of those guys have the handle or the quickness and the moves of Kyrie.
I will say this. I think Kobe was a better one-on-one player than Kyrie, but I've never seen anyone of Kyrie's size. How tall is he, Michael?
6'1".
I've never seen anyone finish at the basket like him.
Yeah, you can't. I guess you can block a shot, but he doesn't care. He'll find a way to get it over 7 footers.
I've seen Kyrie throw shots off the upper corner of the backboard that just hit and go right through the hoop.
Yeah.
I don't know if he grew up playing against taller guys or, you know, he was born in Australia. Maybe that when he was a little kid, he was just trying trick shots, but he has a better sense underneath the basket. I've called plays where Kyrie had nowhere to go. Like he had a guy right on him and Michael, I could swear his body was under the backboard and somehow the ball goes in.
He can finish in traffic with either hand. Allen Iverson couldn't do that. He was all right-handed. Obviously Kobe's in the conversation, serious. And if you want to say Kobe, that's fine. But Kyrie, for me, he's the best one-on-one player I've ever seen.
All right, Josh in Texas is on the line. Josh, you're on 710 ESPN. How is everything in Texas? Where are you and what's going on? We know there's huge problems.
It sure is cold, buddy, but it's good to hear from you.
You got cool. Josh, do you have heat? Do you have power?
We actually do, man. We got full power, full running, and I'm ready for the game tonight. I'm
all right,
so stoked. So the question is, guys, if LeBron goes out there and scores 35-plus points, gets 10 rebounds and 10 assists, and the Lakers lose, does this still end the MVP talks all in one game? And if
don't
you think it's a double standard for the way we look at Giannis and LeBron if they do lose the game and he ends the MVP talks?
Well, thank you so much, guys. Okay.
Yeah, hang on a second. We're going to give you a Mason in Ireland t-shirt.
Awesome.
Hey, Josh, you still there?
Yeah. Yes,
all right,
sir.
So if LeBron does that, if he puts up a triple-double – and the Lakers lose, and let's say for you, that means LeBron's not the MVP, which I don't understand, but for you, that's what that means. Who would you vote for?
No, so it totally doesn't mean it for me. I feel like that it will mean it for the rest of the public/media, because there's so much talk and hype into this game that we're so short-minded that once we see a loss, we're on to the next thing. But it doesn't seem that way for Giannis. He'll still lose primetime games, but we'll still give him back-to-back MVP.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Well,
number one, and stay safe down there in Texas. Number one, Giannis ain't winning it this year.
No.
He's not even in the running. But Jokic has had bad games, and Embiid's had bad games, Michael. And by the way, 35-10-10 would not be a bad individual game for LeBron. And he doesn't have AD.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think if the Lakers lose tonight, it has any effect on LeBron's MVP race.
No, LeBron's still, like you say, he's secretariat, but I think it's a closer race than that.
You think Embiid's right on his heels?
Yeah, I think LeBron's got him by, say, maybe a length. If this was a horse race, a length.
Okay, yeah, I just think the narrative is there for LeBron this year. The narrative is there. Here he is, age 36 season, all these years in the league, and he has got the longest peak performance period maybe of any athlete of all time. Has anybody done this, had a prime that lasts
The only other guy and is Jerry Rice at this high. You remember 36, he was still the best receiver
in
the game. You're right, but Brady doesn't put his body through the – I shouldn't say that because he does have Aaron Donald tackling him.
And
but
he's got that full-time trainer.
You know what? You can say that Brady is not – the game is not as reliant on Brady as it is with LeBron in an NBA game.
Really? Quarterback?
He threw for 180 yards.
He threw three touchdowns.
Yeah, he threw for 180 yards. It's not like he's Dan Marino.
So what if he? So if he threw for 500 yards with no touchdowns, what would you say?
I would say he probably won the game if he threw for 500.
No, because
he threw 500 against the Eagles.
Eagles and lost.
Yeah,
what are you talking about, Mace?
I did not put Tom Brady in the same category as LeBron. LeBron is a spectacular athlete, and the game is disproportionately determined by LeBron. Brady won in great part because of a tremendous defensive performance by Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if you had a superstars competition, Michael, remember? Did you ever get asked to participate
in
superstars?
I always wanted to because I would have killed everybody.
Yeah, well, I think LeBron would win it.
Yeah, of course.
And
he's a much better athlete. Yeah. Come on, it's not even close.
All right, coming up next for you, it is Michael Thompson's game of games coming up next for you.
I predict Lindsay's going to win this.
Really?
All right.
Yes.
We will find out. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Here we go. It is Game of Games time, and it is brought to you by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They are our plumber, and they want to be yours, too. And it is Michael Thompson's game today, and the theme of the game is Black History Month.
Black History and Sports. Your buzzer is your name. None of y'all are black, so I don't expect any of y'all to get these questions right. Except Lindsay. Lindsay's smart. She'll get it.
For some reason, Lindsay
is
an expert.
Because I'm smart.
History.
She's smart.
I'm smart.
I have 15 or 20 answers. You guys have to give me the questions, Jeopardy style. Your buzzer is your name. John, you good at keeping score, so keep score.
I will.
Ready?
Yeah.
Jackie Robinson broke baseball's color line in this year.
John.
Go ahead.
1947.
Exactly.
Damn.
He was the first black player.
Wait. He didn't answer in the form of a question.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Mason,
go ahead.
What is 1947?
That's right.
Said it wrong. He said wrong, Michael. He said the wrong year.
Lindsay, go ahead.
What is 1947?
There you go.
That's what I said. I said 1947.
No, you said 57.
57. See, I told you Lindsay was going to win. All right, number two.
All right.
He was the first black player in the NHL.
Who is? Oh, Mason.
John.
Mason. John said it because he got his name in. Go ahead.
Yeah, he got his name in. Go ahead, John.
Okay. Who is Willie O'Ree?
Really good. Wow. Yeah, thank you. Very good.
He plays for the San Diego Gulls. That's
all right.
I know that. I've interviewed
number
him.
Number three. He was the first track and field athlete to win 4 gold medals.
Who is Mason?
Lindsay.
Who is Jesse Owens?
That's right. Lindsay.
God, darn it. I forgot my name. I just go on who is.
Number four. This running back averaged 5.2 yards a carry.
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
Who is Jim Brown?
Oh, I told you Lindsay knows the stuff.
Wow.
Number five. Muhammad Ali reclaimed the heavyweight title from George Foreman in this fight in 19...
Mason. The Rumble in the Jungle.
Very good.
You didn't answer the form of a question.
Oh, that's right. John.
What
is... Jorge buzzed in first.
Oh, Jorge. Go ahead, Jorge.
What is Rumble in
the
Jungle?
That's right. Rumble in the Jungle.
Darn it. I'm terrible.
Number seven. At $37 million a year, she is the highest paid female athlete.
Mason. Who is Serena Williams?
No. At $37 million a year, she is the highest paid female athlete in sports.
John. Who is Naomi Osaka?
Yes. Very good, Ireland. What's the score?
Lindsay three, Ireland two, Jorge one, and Mace yet to scratch.
In 1957, she was the first black woman to compete at what is now Tennessee's U.S. Open.
John. Who is Althea Gibson?
Jeez, you are good, Ireland. Very good.
Wow.
She was the first woman to dunk in a pro basketball.
Lindsay. Cheryl Swoops.
You didn't answer in the form.
Didn't answer for John.
Jorge. John.
Who is Cheryl Swoops?
No.
That was a good trick.
Mason. Who is Candace Parker?
No. Jorge. She was the first woman to dunk in a pro game.
Who is Lisa Leslie?
Yes, Lisa Leslie.
Jorge.
You guys should be ashamed of yourself. He was the first black man to play in the Masters.
John. Who is Lee Elder?
Very good, yes.
Okay. Wow.
Closest to the year on this one. The all-black team, the Harlem Globetrotters, was formed in this year. First, you all can guess.
Mason, 1952.
1952 says Mace. No, go ahead. Who else?
It's earliest. I'll guess 1925.
25 says Ireland.
Is it closest without going over or just closest?
Just closest.
1926, Bob.
26, says Lindsay. And Jorge?
30.
And Ireland wins, 25. The year was 1920. No, wait a minute. Lindsay wins. The year was 1927.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Then we're tied. Lindsay and Ireland are tied. 4-4. Mm-hmm. 4-4.
All right.
Wait a minute. If it was 1927.
Yes, Lindsay guessed 26, remember?
Oh, that's right. It's Lindsay 4, Ireland 4, Jorge 2, and Mason with absolutely nothing.
Wow.
Absolutely nothing.
He was the first black player to win the Heisman Trophy.
Wow.
Lindsay.
I'm going to guess O.J. Simpson.
No.
John. I think I saw a movie about this. Who is Ernie Davis?
Yes. Who is Ernie Davis?
Ireland for the win.
No, let's go. We got some more.
Okay, go ahead.
Wait. What time is our out time, Jorge?
You got play time.
Mason is going
for Mason.
What
is the out time, as I like to say?
He was the NFL's first black coach.
John? Who is Art Shell?
Yes, you should know that, Mr. Raider.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Aptly named and pitching for the Dodgers, he became the first black pitcher to win a World Series. Mace?
Don Newcomb?
Nope. He became the first black pitcher to win a World Series game in 1952. Aptly named, like I said.
Lindsay. Can I just guess the last name?
Sure.
Black?
Who is Black? Joe Black.
Oh, there you go, Lindsay.
That's right. Very good.
Well, you took the hit.
Okay, so it is Ireland 6, Lindsay 5, Jorge 2, and Mason absolutely not.
Okay, listen to this question. Listen to this answer.
The new hashtag is Mason so white.
Yeah. I was going to say, Michael, if Mace doesn't get any right, does it make him the whitest guy at the station?
Since Dave Shore, yes.
Since Dave Shore.
Okay, yeah. She became the first female athlete to have a basketball shoe named after her, rhymes with hoops.
Mason.
Lindsay.
Who is Cheryl Swoops?
Very good.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
He was the first NBA player to have a signature shoe deal.
Lindsay. Michael Jordan?
No.
Jorge.
Mason.
Jorge.
Who is Magic Johnson?
No.
Mason. Who is Bill Russell?
No.
I don't know. I would just be guessing.
Should I give you guys a hint?
No, okay. I'll guess.
Go ahead.
Who is Walt Frazier?
Yes, I did know that.
Yeah, wow. Close.
Frazier.
Yes. Walt Frazier.
That's it. Ireland with the dominating win. We're out of time.
We're out of time?
I know we could go all day. Yeah.
I had some more.
Michael, that was a good game.
All right.
That was a good game.
Didn't Lindsay win?
No, I had 7 and she had 5.
Oh. Ireland pulled away at the end. Ireland pulled away at the end.
It was 7-5. It was close.
Yeah, good job, Lindsay.
Standing by right now with Mace a look at traffic. Did you say not yet?
I said Mace, you stink.
Oh, we're waiting for it. Well, in the meantime, what a cluster fun this is.
The interesting thing about – well, hey, Michael.
Yeah.
Ask one more
okay.
since we're waiting. And if Lindsay gets it, I'll make it be worth 3 and she can win.
All right, let's see.
That's awfully nice of you.
All right. Okay, Lindsay, you get you this one. All you guys. He was the first black owner in the NBA.
John.
Oh, John.
Who is Bob Johnson?
Yes, Bob Johnson,
yeah,
2004.
Bob Johnson. All right, there's a dominating win for Ireland. We're back tomorrow at 12:55. Coming up next for you is Sedano, LZ, and Cap. Mason Ireland in the book, 710 ESPN.